Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 158, recorded on December 7th, 2017. On tonight's episode, we discuss announcements from Capcom, Nintendo, and more, both earlier in the week and at the Game Awards. We talk about who won Game of the Year at the Game Awards. I bet you can't guess who. And tons of other stuff that is all Nintendo-related and tons of fun. Zach? Oh, that's right. Zach's not here. Somebody cue the music.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Justin Masson, and I am your host tonight for Nintendo Dads, and you are tuned in, locked into the number one video game podcast that are done by three guys on Skype who are dads named Justin, Jesse, and Marty.
So awfully specific.
I know, it's a very specific number. Well, when you make a statement when you're number one, I was like, but we're not number one, but we're somewhere in there. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. And of course, joining me, speaking of those wonderful gentlemen, is the king, the supreme ruler, the man whose internet fingers make the keys go clickety-clack, Mr. Jesse Waldack. How are you today, sir?
And they are very loud keys.
They are very loud keys.
Whenever I try to type in chat and I'm trying to do it nice and soft, Zach is like, I can hear it. Stop it.
I think they need to have like a cloth that goes over top of your keys that is like a printed keyboard on top of it. So it like paddens it. So it's just like little soft taps. A man who is no soft tap himself. I have no idea what that means. Marty Estes, the man of the South. How are you today, buddy?
I am good. And I think you were just pretty much saying that I'm clumsy and fat. And that's totally fine. That's just how a lot of people describe me.
I
don't do anything softly.
No, I think this entire group of gentlemen are somewhat clumsy and soft. So I don't, well, I think it's that maybe it's dad bod. Dad, you know, the shirt's coming.
You know
off
what, Justin? Here's what I want to know. When you and Zach, you know, both host the show, nobody asks you how you're doing. How are you?
Oh. How am I? I am. Wow, that is a deep question. Thank you, Marty. I am. Well, other than the fact it's 5 a.m. where I am, I'm doing all right. I've there's no snow here. It's getting near Christmas. You guys have snow where you are at all yet? No. I asked that question ignorantly.
It was 5 days ago. It was 72 degrees here.
Yeah, we had 70s on Monday, and that did actually try to snow yesterday, but it melted as soon as it landed.
It is 32 degrees here right now.
Yeah, I'm sitting at 18.
Nice. Okay.
Not nice. I wanted to go back to 70.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I'm good. My fingers are hurting. I have been playing so many games this last week. We have so much to talk about. And I feel like I am drowning in a sea of content and announcements and video games that I am super excited about. But of course, before we kick that off, Marty, the news is brought to us by people. Who is the news brought to us again by, Marty? I can't remember.
The news is brought to us by our friends, our family, our fellow Nintendo dads, cousins, brothers, sons, and whoever else over at patreon.com who jump in and support Nintendo Dads each month, either with, $1 contribution, $5, $15, $30. We love them all. We love them all, and we're thankful for them.
Absolutely. Do we get some new members this week as well?
Let's do a check right over here on the old patron device. What I can tell you while we're checking that is that we did have some folks who are winners.
Winners. Chicken dinner.
And, they are getting some things from us in the next couple of weeks. The first one of those, first category of winners is our mystery monthly merch giveaway. And I'm happy to announce that our winners of the past 2 months are Ariel Bujosa and Dave Ernsberger. And so, guys, you should check your messages on Patreon or send us a DM on Twitter with your address so that we can get that sent out to you as soon as possible. We would love to bless you with the stuff we have picked up. And can I just say something?
Absolutely.
I put these boxes together and I did it with love.
There's a little piece of you in there. A little bit of love.
There is a little piece. In fact, let me tell you this.
Does that mean you cut
my
your finger?
My kids wrote letters to the patrons.
Oh, that's what? Cool.
And put them in the box.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was like, can y'all write a letter and just say thank you thank you for supporting Nintendo Dads. And my daughter was like, yeah, thank you for supporting Nintendo Dads and Drew and Mario and put it in there. And then my son writes like a four sentence letter. It's like, dear patron, we love you. Thanks for supporting Nintendo Dads. And then he drew Mario.
That's awesome. I was hoping
and
for something.
So that's in there. And there's other even more cool stuff in that box. So you guys shoot us your email shoot us your physical address and we'll get that out to you. No new patrons this week. And so the challenge is to you guys who are out there listening, you could be the next new patron. If you are a listener of the show and you haven't hopped in over at patreon.com yet, you can just go to patreon.com/NintendoDads. And for, as Zach says, for as little as a dollar a month, you too can change the world by helping us create great Nintendo Dads content.
Absolutely. Now, Marty, I'd be remiss to say that was not the only things that were being mailed out of Nintendo Dads HQ this week as well. So for those, I want to kind of give a bit of an update here. For those of you who remember, in November, we participated in the Extra Life campaign. Mr. Marty Estes himself did a 24-hour live stream, which was fantastic. We did some fundraising with me taking my shirt off. That's why I'm not on a webcam today. It's embarrassing for all of us.
It was so embarrassing, your camera broke.
Exactly. But I want to give a bit of an update on that as well. So first and foremost, big thank you to all of the members of the team who supported it and who spent their time doing it. And it was just absolutely amazing. So obviously, big shout out to Marty, Mike BC, Sam Puckett, Scott Nicholson, Tim, and Zach, although I don't think Zach did anything. But what I do want to say is that we were able to raise for Extra Life, and again, this is benefiting the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. We were able to raise, I had it a second ago, $1,351, which is absolutely amazing. So thank you so much for doing that. The important thing beyond helping the children is that we did better than the Mega Dads. That's really the
most important thing. I was hoping that you were going to bring that up.
I was going to. Yeah. If you didn't bring it up, I was going to ask you.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter as long as we beat them. That's all that's important to me. Suck it, John and Adam. Suck it.
Really thought you were going with suck it children there.
No, but hey, I do want to say that we were. It's okay. We did want. We made a call out to our fundraisers and we said we want to incentivize you. So what we ran is we ran a couple contests actually during the Extra Life campaign, and we had all of our everyone who donated was put into a draw to win some funds, a $20 eShop gift card, and we sent out one of those to an individual named Ola, and we're going to be sending an email to that right away. A $50 eShop gift card, and the winner of that was actually Tim, because he had donated to someone else's campaign, so he won a $50 eShop gift card, which he can use, and I think he's spending on some awesome games right now. And then actually, we were giving away a SNES Classic EU or North American edition. And actually, that went out to Sheldon Benedict, who is a part of our community as well. He had actually donated to Mike BC. So great, great job on that. And then we wanted to incentivize our own fundraisers. And the person, we decided to give a game away to one of the people who raised funds for us, one of our fundraisers like Mike or Tim. And actually Mike BC won, and he won a brand new free game on any platform of his choice. So great job for everyone. Really excited to be able to support Extra Life and to be able to incentivize. And guys, we are so thankful for all the work that you guys did for this. And we are so, so thankful to be able to support and benefit Children's Miracle Networks and hospitals. So thank you so much. We will continue to do this every single year. And I don't know. That's all I have to say. It was just awesome.
I'm really excited, because Extra Life, this is my first year to do it, and I didn't know what to expect. I set a goal of $250, and setting that goal, I thought, man, nobody is gonna get behind this. People are going to look at me and be like, why are you, this is stupid. Why are you doing this? And then, like, when I started, just all the donations that came in, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I shot too low.
Yeah.
I mean, there were several times, if you go back and look at any of those live stream videos, there are several times where I'd be like, all right, we're going to raise the goal because I've been doing this for 8 hours and I've already met my goal. So we'll raise the goal. And if we get this much, and that raising the goal, raising the bar is what led to the infamous Masson shirtless incident of 2017.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thanks to Zach. And it also led to me being able to end my stream early because with, I think, 6 hours left, we crossed the $750 mark and were able to, it was kind of like I said, you know, I'll stream until six or until I get to 750. And someone came through with that last $50 donation. And so if you're listening and you donated to Extra Life, we just want to say thank you again. We poke fun about, you know, beating the mega dads and about how it's about this or about this, but really is, again, it's about the kids. It's about raising money for those hospitals. And if you heard me talk about it during my live stream, my daughter was actually in one of those hospitals when she was 2 months old. And so it was a cause that was pretty near and dear to my heart. And that was the hospital I played for. And so I'm just thankful to be able to give back a little bit, and definitely something I'm going to do next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Very much like you, Marty, last year when I played my youngest had spent some, an amount of time that we wish she didn't have to, in the hospital as well. And, you know, it's those type of institutions and, support systems that help us in those times when we feel the most helpless, when our children are sick. So let's transition on to, fun news. Now, obviously the news. The news brought to us, we said, about by Patreon. Marty, this week I was concerned for you. I was genuinely.
You were.
I was really concerned about you. Like I almost called you on Skype to ask how you were, because Marty, something huge happened this week. Something where I almost dialed 911 for you. Capcom held their 30th anniversary for the Mega Man, and they had a live stream, and they just had a couple of announcements. They were doing a couple of little ones. They were teasing a lot leading up to it. But Marty, now, and I know you made a reaction video. I don't want to break this down because I think this is too important to you. So, Marty, what happened with Mega Man, and why have you been smiling for like days?
And I have been. And at this point, my wife has told me as of today that I'm not allowed to talk about it anymore. So that's how serious it is. So Capcom began to advertise earlier this month or late into November that there would be a live stream this past Monday, the 4th, about Mega Man. And it would be kind of as a celebration of the 30th anniversary of Mega Man. And being real honest with you guys here, I didn't get my hopes up at all because the game explained, 25th anniversary.
The game explained, people, Derek was picking on Ash because Ash is the big Mega Man fan there. That, you know, they'll talk about the new Mega Man of Action cartoon, which looks like garbage, and that's pretty much it. And then Ash is like, they better do something more than that.
And see, that's actually what I thought was going to happen. I thought they were going to come out and do the 25th anniversary thing again, be like, hey, guys, it's 25th anniversary of Mega Man. It's a character we all love. And so you're getting a garbage freemium mobile game and a wearable helmet, and we'll see you next time. But they did not do that. So they start the stream off and they make the announcement that the Mega Man X collection is coming to Nintendo Switch. Now, the issue with this is that I'm fine with this. Like, and I know I've given Brian in our Patreon chat, I've given him a hard time because I don't like Mega Man X very much. But at first I was like, well, if that's the only announcement, then this has kind of been not good. But I'm like, I'm okay with that. I'm going to buy this. But my question is about it. Do we think this is a brand new collection, like they're going to do something different for it because it's on Switch? Or is this the one that came out a few years ago on the GameCube?
No, I think this will be a new builds of the game, probably putting in the same rewind features and stuff they did for Legacy Collection, because it's also coming out for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, which don't have it. So this isn't going to be the same. Okay. This isn't the same garbage collection that came out with the GameCube and PS2 era. I think back then there was only 6X games. Now there's 8.
Right. Yeah. They're going to include the final two games. And you know, my issue with the X games is that, like, somewhere around Mega Man X4, I feel like they kind of lost the plot a little bit. Like, they had some really interesting ways that they could have taken that story, and they didn't go in those directions. And it kind of just became like generic butt rock anime robots. Like, you know, that's, and I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but
of course, like, at the time, that's,
well, all the generic anime butt rock fans have now left. Thanks very much, Marty.
Yeah. At the time, that's anyway. Exactly what I would have wanted if I liked that type of game. But, you know, I don't think I've gotten past the two levels in any X game. So,
my other problem with the X series is that they just made it all about Zero. That's what it came down to. In the end, it wasn't really about X to me at all. It was all about Zero. So, we're getting the Mega Man X collection. Am I going to buy it? Yes. Does a bear poop in the woods? Yes. It's a Mega Man. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to spend the money so that Capcom will spend money to make more things. And then they did this really awesome tribute video to Mega Man. And they were like, you could feel it building up. Like, there's this tension building up. Like, and so he's like the old 8-bit Mega Man, and he's running through certain levels, and they're playing classic music, and he's getting all these items that say 30th anniversary, and it's building a collage in the bottom of the screen. And every time he gets an energy tank, it like shifts series. So you go from, you know, like Mega Man to Mega Man X to Mega Man Battle Network and everything. And, you know, the years are building up, and then it gets to the end, and it's like, this is my favorite part. Yeah, it made me laugh. Like,
Mega Man 10 was 2010.
Yeah. 2010 through 2017, he's just running around a blank screen. Like, nothing's happening. Just the years are up there. And then we get to the end, and there's 2018. And that's right. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. That right there is when the alarm went off in my soul. And I was like, holy God, they're about to do something right here. And it's going to be, it's a Mega Man game. And it's going to be a classic Mega Man game. And all my prayers are going to be answered. And then, what doth the Mega Man gods bequeatheth unto us?
Mighty Number 19.
No. Dear God, no. They dropped the trailer for Mega Man 11. And I've said this in our chat. I've said this on, you know, to certain people on other platforms. I wish that you guys could have had a camera on me at that moment, as I'm here in my office, I'm by myself, the door's shut. There was fist pumping, there was screaming, there was tears. I got up, seat fell over.
So you were Roger DeLuigi
across my desk. What?
You were Roger DeLuigi.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, for a minute, I kind of forgot who I was. And that moment was when that trailer dropped. And
as I was taking my initial draft of notes before putting them into our show notes, I wrote Mega Man 11, the game that Mighty Number 9 wanted to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There is a lot of, and I don't think this is a bad thing. I think this is, it's almost like, I want to say it's like a taunt to KG and Ifune. Or he's like, finger? Oh, this is the game you wanted to make.
A finger?
here it is. And I guess the biggest thing that's kind of the biggest callback to Mighty Number 9 that Jesse keeps referring to is that when Mega Man uses the powers in this game, not only does he take on a different color like other Mega Man games, he changes physical form as well in a way. And we've seen the first Robot Master, who's kind of like made out of the underground level blocks from Super Mario Brothers.
Actually, to be honest, I never got that far in Mighty Number 9 to know that happened.
And so, like, no, I'm talking about the first Robot Master has been from 11 has been revealed.
Right, but in Mighty Number 9, I didn't. If he changes, if he changes forms other than just a color swap, I didn't know that.
It is. It's pretty much just color swap, and that's part of why I was so disappointed with Mighty Number 9, because the concept that was promised was not delivered on. However, it looks like Capcom's going to try to do that, because, like, he's got this, you know, his helmet gets these little blocks on him, and one hand gets bigger than the other, and it's holding one of these, you know, bricks, and that's the hand he's using to manipulate the power. And there's some really interesting ways that they can go with this. And I don't know if you saw this, but the there was an image that was leaked, or maybe it was leaked, I don't know, it was revealed, of Mega Man and Roll and Rush, and they were standing there, and the silhouettes of the Robot Masters were behind them.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that? And, like, there's some very varied sizes, you know, of Robot Masters that you're going to have to beat in this game. And it kind of, it reminded me of the kind of the direction they were going design wise with Mega Man 7 and on, with some of the Robot Masters, you know, like not being very traditional forms, like not, you know, Mega Man size, or not just, you know, kind of, I guess you could do more of that, you know, as graphical power has increased. But, like, you go back and you compare, like, Cut Man to Astro Man, you know, in Mega Man 8. And that's a totally different way of looking at a Robot Master. So I am thoroughly, thoroughly pleased and on board the hype train for Mega Man 11. I think it's going to be fantastic. And if you don't think so, that's cool. But you and I can agree to disagree, and, you know, just get right on out of here. And
nice.
And then so, this game is coming out on all platforms as well. Yeah.
So all of these games are 2018 games, right?
Correct.
So Mega Man X Collection 2018, I'm going to assume early. Like, here's the way I see this going down. Mega Man X Collection in the first quarter of the year, January, February, March.
March or April.
Sometime around there. Mega Man 11
they did is say going to be... They did say late, so I'm thinking November.
I'm thinking November as well. So it's going to be like October, November, December. But what's going to be in the gap in between there? Well, in right after they announced Mega Man 11, they dropped this other bombshell, and they say, oh, if you want to play Mega Man 11, you need to play through the first 10 Mega Man games. Now you can do that on the Switch with the Mega Man Legacy Collection 1 and 2 coming to the Switch as well with Amiibo functionality. Now, my question for this is going to be like the X question. Is this going to be one combined package, or are they just going to cheap out and dump it on a cart and sell it twice?
Now, from what I've heard, it is two carts.
Okay.
It is collection, because obviously collection one is already in existence on Nintendo platforms. Mm-hmm. So that's just putting on another cart, and collection two would be much like the release they just did for Legacy 2. So it is not, from my understanding, from what I've heard, it is not a combined cart. It is two separates.
Aren't they something like, I mean, $15 each anyway? So it's not very...
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, if they make it...
I'm checking the PSN price cartridges right now. In, okay.
If they put both cartridges in the package and sell it for $39.99, I'm in.
Yeah.
But I would just rather not make two separate purchases. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or am I just nitpicking there?
You're probably nitpicking a bit, but I mean, like for me, I already own the Legacy Collection 1 on my 3DS. I only want Legacy Collection number 2.
I'm still going to buy both of them.
All right, so I checked what they're doing on PSN, and I have a feeling that they'll probably do something similar. They have actually three SKUs. One is the Mega Man Legacy Collection. That's $15. You know, that was the same. You know, that came out on Wii U and 3DS. The Mega Man Legacy Collection 2 for $20, which has not been released on any Nintendo platform. And then they have a combo pack that for both games, both packs in one for $30. So basically $5 off.
So, do you guys think that this is going to be physical at all? It may just be digital.
I think it'll probably just be digital.
That's for this and the X collection?
Yep, I think so.
I wouldn't mind that. Like, I don't mind that at all, because I had to pick up a new case for my Switch. I don't know if I mentioned this. Mm-hmm. I had to pick up a new case for my Switch because I'm out of room for physical games.
Oh, geez, no.
So, like, I don't really need any more. Like, I'm okay with going, you know, digital mainly from here on out. I'm toying with the idea of picking up Xenoblade 2, even though I don't know if I really will enjoy it. But so many people are into it that I want to have that experience too. And if I do buy it, it's going to be physical. So nice. I can take it back.
Nice. So Marty's hype is obviously high for Mega Man. And guys, check out Marty did a quick reaction video. It's on a YouTube channel as well. And Marty, I'm going to play the role of your wife, and we need to move on from Mega Man. I know, right? Disappointment. I'm the one that brings, because we do have other news items that we are going to talk about. So quick news item, guys. Deadpool is going to be Detective Pikachu.
Awesome.
So, yes, awesome. This week, Ryan Reynolds has been confirmed as the voice actor playing Detective Pikachu in the live-action movie that's coming to North America. So that's exciting.
Is this a North American movie, or is this a Japan movie getting dubbed?
I believe it's a North American movie.
Okay, which is weird since the game's in Japan and not here.
Correct. Not here yet, but we'll see what happens. I don't know. How do you guys, I mean, obviously everyone wanted Danny DeVito to be Detective Pikachu. Guys, are you happy with Ryan Reynolds doing it?
I am.
Okay.
I am cool with that. I mean, like, here's my only thing with it. And maybe we can talk about this for just a couple of minutes. With Ryan Reynolds playing Pikachu, do we feel like this is going to be a family movie? Or are we going to get a little something more?
I think it'll be like a PG-13.
I think he'll push the line of, you know, into PG-13. I don't think they'll go crazy. They're not going to go Deadpool crazy.
Although, could you imagine if it was like a dark, hard R Detective Pikachu movie?
That would be epic. But yeah, I think it'll be, if they do the writing right, it'll be one of those movies that it's safe to bring your 5-year-old to, but there'll be adult humor that they don't get.
Right.
That's the type of show I like.
No, here's what I want. I want it shot in the art style of Frank Miller's Sin City. And the only
color is yellow.
Yellow, and it's on Pikachu. That's the only thing I want right now. That would be epic.
I forgot what I said in Twitter, but someone replied that Danny DeVito has done the voice of an animated character in a live action movie before, The Lorax, I think was, and I don't remember that one being very good.
Actually, Lorax was quite good. Lorax was really good. So you can shut your dirty mouth, Jesse.
Yeah, The Lorax was.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different movie, but or I just didn't care about it, but. But I'm looking forward to Ryan Reynolds from
this one. Yeah, it'll be good. So hopefully that'll be.
Totally gonna go see this.
Yeah, it'll be great. It will absolutely be great. A couple other things I want to hit the headlines on before we jump into the game awards here. Quick hot takes. Namco Bandai rumored to be having a large announcement on December 15th. Guys, do we know anything that we're potentially expecting from Namco Bandai in this one?
Smash.
Sometimes I forget they're even a company, so no.
cool. Yeah, so that's gonna be December 15th. So that's like a week away.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do the Smash announcement.
Do they not do Dark Souls?
No.
Namco Bandai? Who does that?
You know what? I'm actually looking them up right now since
I asked a question. You do that. Yeah. You do that while I move around to other piece of items.
They did publish
Dark Souls.
Yeah. Or
interesting.
Co-publisher along with From Software.
Okay. So there could be some things there. So in about a week from now, we'll see what Namco, but they have, but basically Namco Bandai, we suspect we're going to hear a lot of information about how they're going to be supporting the Nintendo Switch going forward. So that is very exciting news. Speaking of other interesting news that came out this week, Nvidia Shield is now bundled with Wii games. And so this came out earlier this week, and I thought this was very interesting. The Nvidia Shield will now be coming. Nvidia, thank you. Nvidia, for clarity here, this is in China only, right? Yep, China. And it will be coming pre-installed with three games, The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, New Super Mario Wii, and Punch-Out!, and this will all be running in nice HD resolution. And apparently they're going to be start selling that on December 5th, which has passed. And again, these are all in China. So Very interesting, and not coming to the U.S. yet. But I don't know, guys. What do you think of this?
Well, I don't think we'll get this because hardware sold in China is generally China only, and they kind of get like the leftovers from the rest of the world just because of how their government treats imports.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, we're definitely not getting this. But what I do think is interesting here, and we were talking about this before we went on air, that Nintendo now has streaming Wii and GameCube games on a device whose architecture is extremely similar to the Nintendo Switch.
Now, let me pause on that one right there. Has GameCube games been confirmed?
The article that I pulled up earlier said Wii and GameCube games. Let me just go find that as well.
They may not be packed in, but could be purchasable through their streaming.
There's going to be an assortment of games. Basically, is what this article is saying, that this assortment of games will be streamed. Here's what it says, and the source is. I'm finding this article on MyNintendoNews.com, but the source is a website called Android Police. But here's what the article says.
I don't know what to think about that.
Wii and GameCube games will be coming to the NVIDIA Shield in China. The games will be streamed, not ported, and you will be able to access these games through a streaming service at a cost of $10.27 USD for each game.
Okay. Interesting.
When I say that about streaming, I guess my point is that, we're all headed towards something with this in Nintendo Online service. Where at first it was going to be one thing, and then all of a sudden they make this abrupt change, and push the release back and say, you're going to be getting games, delivered digitally, yada, yada, yada. And virtual console is going to be all part of that. And, people began to suspect that maybe this was a streaming service that Nintendo was going to be using. My question is, could this possibly be a pilot test of that streaming service?
Well, it could be, but I think the interesting thing is that, I don't know, but it could be.
It's very possible.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. let me
actually myself here, okay? Because I went to this other website and it says as of yesterday. A representative from NVIDIA has informed us that the GeForce Now references on the company's Chinese site were erroneous, and all of these games are native ports, after all, not streaming over GeForce Now. At the time of the update, all game pages outside of Paladin 5 are 404ing, presumably while NVIDIA fixes the errors. So, no, Marty, you're just stupid. Let's move on.
So they are built, packed in.
Yeah, okay.
And probably right, additional games purchasable still. We don't know that.
Probably from some kind of shop, but interestingly enough, and that's a good. If you're in China and you're a Chinese fan, you're getting this. Let us know. Send us a message.
Let's route back around to the Bandai Namco thing.
Sure.
That you guys were wondering what do they even publish?
Stuff.
Quite a bit, actually. Probably some games that you may not remember or are just maybe not in those fandoms. You're out of touch. That would be. Would raise some eyebrows for Switch release. The first and foremost would be Tekken, is Bandai Namco, and we know that Tekken or Bandai has a history of publishing Tekken with it last appearing on the Wii U. Also, the Dark Souls series, and there's some rumors rumbling around that possibly a Dark Souls remaster or a Dark Souls collection coming to the Nintendo Switch. Which I think would be pretty fantastic if that happened. The Dragon Ball games for Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Xenoverse, different things like that, they're all published by Bandai Namco as well. Ni No Kuni. Ironically, what I didn't realize this myself. Pokken Tournament was published by.
Well, it's part of the Tekken franchise.
Yeah. So, and there's some other things they own some
the Digimon World games. But
I think here's the one after the Game Awards, and maybe we can just use this to segue into this next segment. That is most interesting is Bandai Namco also publishes Soul Calibur.
Interesting.
Which is a game that was revealed to be coming tonight at Game Awards, brand new world premiere trailer. And if you remember, Nintendo is no stranger to Soul Calibur either. In fact, they lent Link to the Soul Calibur franchise back in the day on the GameCube with Soul Calibur 2. And so I would love to see that happen again.
So Namco Bandai? December 15th. Are we excited? Are we expecting stuff from him for sure?
I am actually expecting something here. I would say that there's going to be at least one Switch game that's going to come out of this.
Okay.
Good. I'm not necessarily thinking it's going to be Smash, but that's because I thought Smash was going to be announced tonight at the Game Awards, and I was wrong.
Right. Yeah, wrong.
Some people in the chat are suspecting that now, a game announced during the awards, which did not get I guess we already said it, didn't we?
Dark Souls?
No, Soul Calibur 6. When it gave the icons of which platforms it'll be on, the Switch was not there. So, you know, some people are saying that maybe they just held that back and will announce it here.
And they may be right because that's This conference was already planned, you know, alongside the Game Awards. And, I mean, you don't want to blow such a big announcement, but how cool would it be to walk out, you know, and say, you know, we showed you this trailer a few days ago. We're happy to say it's coming in the Nintendo Switch, and Link will be a playable character.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, we got that.
Link versus Darth Vader.
We have got that in a week from now, so that will be very exciting as well. Now, just before we kind of danced around the Game Awards, we're going to jump in that right now. Just before that, I want to throw a quick three hot takes for people to be aware of. First and foremost, guys, yesterday Ubisoft announced an update to the Mario & Rabbids Kingdom Battle. It's a free DLC update to add a versus mode. It allows local multiplayer only via a split Joy-Con or two controllers. So that's pretty awesome. Check that out. That'll be really cool. It's a free download. It's available right now. Easy. Do it.
This is going to make my son so happy.
Right. Yeah,
he's wanted
it.
To battle for so long. Like he enjoys doing like the co-op missions. Mm-hmm. But he really wants to shoot at me.
The rules will be different though. In the regular play, you know, every character can move, shoot, and do a special ability if it's lit. So you can do like up to like 10 actions per turn, basically. In here, you're only allowed 3 actions per turn. So you got to pick and choose whether you want to move all 3 people, have one person move 3 times, one person fire 3 times. So there's a higher level of strategy in this mode. Versus normal.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a little bit more there. Couple other things as we're speaking of things on the eShop to be aware of. Mutant Muds Deluxe is now available to pre-order. And if you pre-order, it comes out actually next week on December 14th. But if you pre-order now, it's like a 33% saving. So it's under $10. You get 3 games. You get Mutant Muds Challenge, and then Mud Blocks, which is kind of a Tetris versioning of this. This is done by Atui Studios and Jules Watson. And I think it's great. If you haven't played Mutant Muds before on any of the other devices, I own it on the Wii U and the 3DS, now on the Switch. Guys, pick it up. It's great to support local indie developers. He does great content. Make sure you check it out.
Very cool that this game is a preload right now as well, and that it's on discount.
Yeah, exactly. Those are huge deals. So
if you buy it before its official release date, you get $5 off.
Yeah, exactly. So do it up. The other one to be aware of that is on a pre-order right now is Yooka-Laylee. So this is coming out next week as well. This is, I want to think Canadian, it's $50. 5.3 gigs. It's pretty large, but it is available on pre-order right now. Now we don't have a review copy at this point, and even if we did, probably embargoes would say that we can't talk about it. But I know, Jesse, you are getting a copy of it next week as a backer.
Yes.
And I know there are kind of some mixed reviews. Potentially we've heard about it before. Now they have done a patch that it patches in camera. They have done a patch for voice work. And someone was saying they actually worked closely with Nintendo on this version. And Playtonix is saying that this is kind of the most stable, best offering of it on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Because, the Playtonix people themselves did the PC version and the Switch version while they had, I think, Team 17 do the console versions.
Yeah.
So since they kept the Switch version in-house, it seemed that gives it a chance it might be the more stable. And so that what I'm hearing so far, at least what the rumors are, is that it is the most stable of the three consoles.
Yeah. So we'll
find out.
Yeah, exactly. So we will be, we are hoping for an early access view, so we may be able to have more feedback for you next week. But guys, if you're kind of on the fence post about this one maybe sort of like rhyme for some people waiting to see, we will be getting a copy of it for review. May not have the feedback next week, maybe the week after, but if you want to hold off, that's fine as well, because we do know it's a bit of a heftier price tag as well for digital.
Well, as soon as I get the code, it'll be something I can play right away. It's not, I don't have to wait until the 14th.
Yeah, you won't be under embargo probably.
Yeah, so, since this isn't, I'm not getting it through media, I don't think I'm embargoed.
Sounds like a nice chance to stream.
Yeah, a good chance to stream for sure. And actually, I know that our friend Barry Dunn over on Nintendo Impact Gaming actually did get a review code and has already put up play footage on his channel, so you can check that out if you want to. Now, guys, we have been remiss. We have talked around it. Let's go talking into it now, folks. The Game Awards just wrapped up about an hour ago. And, guys, there are some notable winners and announcements. I know that, Jess, you've got this amazing list here of what has won. Do we want to talk about the announcements? Do we want to talk about the winners? What do we want to talk about?
My notes are just in order from top down of anything that's related to Nintendo.
Let's talk announcements then winners.
Okay. So I guess the big announcement that I woke up to this morning as I rolled over and looked at my notifications is that Nintendo announced the Breath of the Wild DLC pack to the Champions Ballad, which we were told was coming at the end of this year. There was lots of rumors that this was going to be coming out. And ladies and gentlemen, it is out officially right now. If you have purchased it, you can actually update your Switch right now. It is available now. I'm actually in the campaign, but in the DLC content. And I want to read to you what is in there. So part two, the Champions Ballad, a new challenge related to the Champions has been added. Once you have completed the main quest to free all four divine beasts, return to the Shrine of Resurrection and inspect the terminal where you first found the Sheikah Slate. So that's interesting. Let's stop right there. So I have not finished the main quest to free all four divine beasts. I have done three of them. I'm actually on the fourth one right now. Is it possible that I can free the four divine beasts, not defeat Ganon, and go do this challenge?
It sounds like that's what it's saying.
I
may take that approach.
Because here's the thing. When you minor spoiler for you, Justin, not that it's not really a spoiler, but some people may consider it. That's why I say that. Okay. When you defeat or free the final divine beast, your main objective will change.
Right. I would assume
it will become destroy Ganon.
Okay. Whew. I was like, spoiler link. Or spoiler alert, Link is actually Zelda.
Well, I mean, I guess that would be like, I mean, for some people it might be a spoiler. But
right, no.
I guess the main quest of freeing that what they're saying is you can actually go do this. And for people who are doing like the cool part about this, I think, is that for the people who are doing like a fresh playthrough of this game, like you can go through and do all the original stuff and then go straight into this before you even go to Ganon.
Yeah. So I'm actually really excited about this because I have a 17-hour travel day this Sunday heading down to Kansas City to go see our good friend Jesse. And my intention was hoping that they'd have the Ballad out and I would complete Breath of the Wild on my travel day. So I am now pumped that I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do the Ballard, this DLC, and then go defeat Ganon. Now, some other information within the DLC package as well is it's pack two and includes the treasure rumors. It says 9 items have been added, including the Royal Guard equipment, Rabio's hood, and other items honoring the legacy of the Legend of Zelda series. There are apparently books containing rumors about these items at the Riverside Stable and Dia's village ruins. And then the other pack or other piece of information there is the ancient horse gear. The ancient saddle allows you to call a horse companion no matter the distance between the two of you. The ancient bridle increases the number of times you can spur the horse on. There is apparently a book containing rumors that this item is at the Highland Stables. So those are that's the Pack 2 DLC.
It's pretty beefy.
It's pretty beefy. We expect it to be the beefier of the two anyways. So guys, I'm excited for this. Now the trailer showed a couple things, right? We're not game explained. We're not going to break it down in a huge analysis, but it looked like there are more shrines. Looks like there are some different designs of shrines, I think, in some of the ways. It also looked like I'm just going to call it a motorcycle. What up?
It's a motorcycle.
It's a motorcycle.
In fact, it's called the Master Cycle Zero.
So that's pretty crazy.
And Al Numa said in talking about the trailer that Link is a champion. Take this as canon, I guess, this is the champion's ballad, and that Link is also a champion, and that since the other champions had divine beasts, they felt like Link needed one as well. So this master cycle effectively works as his divine beast.
I like how everyone else gets like a wicked cool big ship and he gets a bike. It's like the consolation prize.
So when Game Explained put out the trailer on their channel shortly after it was shown on the award show, I sent a link to my son and said, "You have to watch this now." And then, in iMessage, it shows you the thumbnail of the video. And I'm like, "Damn you, Andre, you spoiled it in the thumbnail."
Yeah. So guys, this was awesome. I'm pretty happy about this. Anyone else be happy?
Yeah, very.
Yeah, this is great. This is super exciting. Can't wait to get onto it. We'll have obviously our impressions next week as we actually play it. But I saw a ton of people jumping online doing this update as well. So I kind of hope there's a DLC pack 3, but you never know.
Pack 2 went live like 10 minutes before we started recording, so none of us have tried it yet. In fact, so I was still downloading it as we started recording.
Justin, that is actually, I think, is a great question. Do you think there will be more DLC after this?
I have always said I think they're going to do more. I think that I would love for them to take Breath of the Wild and look at it as what I would call the legacy game for the Nintendo Switch. And what I mean by that is they've introduced it in the first day the Nintendo Switch was out. And the entire life cycle of the Nintendo Switch, I want them to feed this game. And I want them to put out a pack, 6 months later, more expansions, more content, kind of a rolling content out that I think they can expand on. And that becomes the game.
Do you think that it can be that evergreen though, over the life of the Switch? And I think this is an incredible game. And I've argued this online that Mario Odyssey is my game of the year, but I get why this is the game of the year and why it won the awards it did.
Yeah.
But I guess my question is not, is this an amazing game, but rather is it possible, if the console's life cycle is 5 years, and we're 2022, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. 2022, which is crazy to say, by the way.
Yeah.
If it's 2022, are we going to be able to, is it still going to be like fresh? Is it still going to be evergreen?
Well, I mean, I think that Nintendo is then put in a spot where they have to create the content to make it fresh and evergreen, right? Sure. So what if we all of a sudden now started a, you know, like what would the second story or second part of a Majora's Mask look like? Could there be an entire, like, and maybe the packets are bigger than $30, you know, $30, maybe it's like 50. So you're creating this massive expansive world and areas and whole new maps. And I don't really know exactly, but I think if you have compelling stories with compelling characters and it's fun, you can do it.
At that point, it might as well just be a separate game. Yes, you can still share assets to save and engines to save development time. But you know, if you're going that heavy, it might as well just be a new game.
Yeah, I think
where you go with that is that you take the assets that are in the game, and you create adventures around those companions, and you let that be where you go with it.
Right.
Like, do I want to play as this character? Yes, absolutely. Like, even in the way that they showed it, you know, during the trailer, like, I'm hoping as Daruk is running down that mountain, you know, and slamming into those bokoblins, can I please do that? You know, can I please play as Daruk and do that? I think that I honestly feel like the fan support for that would be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they wanted to do over 2018, if they wanted to do, like, you know, maybe call it Breath of the Wild Stories or something like that, you know, because that world is so rich, it's so big. Mm-hmm. Surely there's definitely more they can mine out of it. I'm not going to say surely. There's definitely more they can mine out of
it. Yeah, I think they definitely could. So it'll be interesting to see what Nintendo does next. You know, if this is indeed the kind of the last piece of the Breath of the Wild puzzle, and they kind of just it's done and dusted, and they're now moving on, right? Or like, what is the next thing in the pipe look like for them? But I'm excited to get our hands on it. Now, there was another teaser or announcement regarding Bayonetta. So they actually showed that Bayonetta 1 and 2 are coming to the Nintendo Switch in February. So
it's really soon.
Yeah, that's really.
I mean, if you think about it.
Again, Nintendo is all about, like, here's what we're going to give you the next 3 months, right? They're not like, you're going to be playing this in 2024, right? They're more about the sooner than the later. So that's really huge. But again, these are ports, right? And was not Bayonetta 1 already ported?
Yes.
To the Wii?
It was ported to the Wii U from... Yeah, it was never on the Wii, but it was ported to the Wii U from the PS3 and Xbox 360 game.
Right, absolutely. So that's coming. Now, were either of you fans of Bayonetta?
No. I did try the original game on PS3, and I think I've said this before on the show, that the whole Witch Time concept, I couldn't grasp. And Platinum Games has used that similar technology in other games, like the Transformers game, which... Mm-hmm. Again, I loved the art style. It brought me back to 1984 again, but I just couldn't beat that first boss.
Yeah,
I couldn't beat Devastator.
I've played the demo on Wii U, but it was never like a game that was on my radar as far as like I've got to have this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now these, like, I think I'm definitely going to jump in now and pick it up because it is a game that, like, looking back on it. I at the time when it came out, I was like, I just don't have a lot of money right now. I'm not going to pick it up, but I always wanted it. And then when I went to go get it, it was just Bayonetta 2 and it didn't have the pack in of Bayonetta 1 anymore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was like, by that point, I was like, nah, well, if I can't play the first one, I'm a big stickler on, I've got to have the whole story. Mm-hmm. So that's I want to play Wolfenstein 2, right? When it comes out on the Switch, but like there's a whole story from was it A New Order? Was the first one A New Order?
Sounds right.
Or I don't know, Shadow of the Colossus or something like that. Or is that 2? I think that's 2.
There was a one before this, I guess, is the one we're making. Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying. Like, because it's not on the Switch, I'm still hoping, I'm holding out that maybe it's going to show up.
Right.
Okay. So there was Wolfenstein, Wolfenstein the New Order, and then now Wolfenstein 2, which is the third game in the reboot.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe they'll have like a little, you know, primer or something at the beginning that will kind of bring you up to speed. But still, I would like to have that whole story. And so maybe. I'm glad I'm getting all these as a, but I think the notable thing here to note is that Bayonetta will only be digital.
It's not,
you're not going to be able to get Bayonetta 1 as a cart.
Really? They even showed box art.
The box clearly says available as a download. Now,
oh, you're talking Japan about, Bayonetta.
Getting,
okay, you were just talking about Bayonetta 1.
Right. Yeah.
So you buy two on a cart, and then it'll come with a code to let you download. Okay.
Now, Japan is getting some like super steelbook version called the nonstop climax version.
Yeah. People love these names.
Yeah. So, this game is really,
in case I have to say it, this game is not for the kids.
Yeah. So I'm on Nintendo's press room right now. So the digital version of Bayonetta 2 can be purchased in the Nintendo Shop eShop for the Switch for $49.99 with the option to also then purchase the digital version of the original Bayonetta for $9.99. However, if players choose to download the standalone digital version of Bayonetta first, they'll have to pay $29.99 with the option to then get the digital version of Bayonetta 2 for an additional $29.99.
Which is exactly how they handled it in the Wii U.
Yeah. So,
so that's not any different. That.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting enough, isn't it? Now, so there is that. Now they also announced that Bayonetta 3. Is in development by Platinum Games exclusively for the Nintendo Switch. Guys, any thoughts on this one? And by the way, just as an FYI, Bayonetta 2 is February 16th is the official launch date on that.
All right.
Guys, are you excited for Bayonetta 3 at all? Or just happy that other people are happy?
Yes.
A mixture.
Yeah. I have no intention of playing it just because I had a I know I don't like their games, and not just Bayonetta, but again, Transformers and other games I've tried. I'm happy other people will be happy.
I feel about this the same way that I did when it launched on Wii U. I might want it. I might not. It all depends on what's out around that time. But I think right now that any third party games that get people excited and talking about the Switch and wanting to own a Switch are still important to Nintendo's strategy. And I think that they knew this when they locked down Bayonetta 2 for the Wii U, that just by the time they finally got it and got it, you know, up and running and it released, the momentum had already shifted away from the system.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a case of too little too late, or you know, it was too little too late, or whatever you say it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. But I definitely think that's why it's getting a port.
Yeah, especially since the Switch install base now is almost as big as the Wii U was.
Yeah. I'll add to that I think that this is telling in a lot of ways for Nintendo that we are going to get more ports of Wii U games. It's not just Mario Kart 8. Yeah. There are more games coming, which gives me hope that we will get a Mario Maker port.
Zelda Maker.
But, yeah, I would be super okay with a Mario Maker port. I would be more than okay.
Yeah, when Mario Maker 3DS, I'm like, okay, that's kind of silly, but I would double dip on a Switch version of that.
Hmm.
Especially if they added something new. Like if they were able to add slopes, or they were able to add a Mario 2 palette. Sure. That would be good.
Yeah. So either way, exciting news from Nintendo in relation to what's coming up in the future. Again, Nintendo is killing it in 2017, and it looks like they're just rolling that train into 2018 as well.
Yep.
Now, speaking of the Game Awards, there was some medal that was handed out. Jesse, do you want to call it just maybe some like couple highlights here that people should be aware of? like just a couple.
Some of the awards.
Yeah, just a couple big ones.
Metroid Samus Returns wins Best Handheld Game.
Awesome.
You want me to mention any of the ones that they lost or just...
Nah. No, I think Mario and Rabbids won Best Strategy Game, which is great.
Yep. Yeah, and kind of picking and choosing here.
I saw Odyssey won for the Best Family Game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Zelda won Best Game Direction and Best Action Adventure Game.
And
the Game of the Year.
The Game of the Year. Yeah, I mean, this was the big thing that everyone was concerned about, is that we were going to be splitting the vote. Nintendo won for Breath of the Wild for Game of the Year. Guys, would you agree with the statement that this is the Game of the Year on the ones that were contended for? I know that, Marty, you said that your personal is Odyssey, but you understand why Zelda is where it is.
Yes. Odyssey is my Game of the Year because, for me, it's always going to be Mario over Zelda. I love The Legend of Zelda, but Mario is always number one. It's my number one game series. It's my number one game franchise. I will play that game. Like, I would argue that I've spent less time in Mario, but I feel like I've accomplished more than I have in Zelda. And that's because the games, trying to compare them as apples and oranges. But with Zelda, everybody that I've talked to has said two things about these games. Most people that play Odyssey say this is 3D Mario distilled to be the best 3D Mario that it's ever been. It's better than, and some people even say it's better than Mario 3, which is blasphemy. Mario 3 will always be better. But it's close. Like, it's my Mario game. Like, in the whole series, it's number two now. Mm-hmm. This is coming from somebody who had serious doubts about it, because I didn't know how all the, you know, jumping between kingdoms and all that was going to function and everything. But everybody that I talked to about Breath of the Wild, they undeniably say a version of what I'm about to say at some point in the conversation. And it goes a little something like this. I didn't know what to expect, or this completely changed Zelda for me, or this made me love open world games, or on and on and on. And for that alone, I think, and that's not barring the fact that it's visually striking, it plays fantastically, the story is engaging. For that alone, notwithstanding all the other stuff, is why it's Game of the Year. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, and, you know, did I think Odyssey would win? Maybe. I hoped it would win. But, if you put them up side by side, there's one of them that's visionary and there's one that's not. Both of them are perfection, but Breath of the Wild is visionary. Breath of the Wild, took a game formula, blew it up, made it different, and made people love it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How often does that happen today in the current video game industry? It doesn't. But Nintendo did it, and it took them forever to do it. Thank God it did. Like, you know, it really is like a must play game.
Yeah,
and I think for that reason is why it won.
When Keeley announced that there was a total of 51 judges in addition to the player vote, so I think the player vote made it like acted like a 50-second judge. So if there was a, you know, split vote situation, it would be minuscule, and so I didn't feel as worried that one or the other wouldn't win.
Mm-hmm.
When he kind of explained that.
Yeah, yeah. And Jesse, you feel good that it's Breath of the Wild as well?
Oh yeah, I agree with it.
Perfect.
So, okay. a few other things I wanted to touch on.
Sure.
So, Cuphead won a lot of things too. One of the categories was debut indie game. Cuphead won where Golf Story was the nominee. So I'm like, kind of would have wished Gulf Story would have gotten some more notice, but that, you know, well, you know, but again, Cuphead is pretty good, a good game. Also winning Best Art Direction, of which where Zelda was a nominee. And what I all of my Twitter, Nintendo liking Twitter people I follow, no one was upset. They said, I completely agree, Cuphead deserved it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm not mad about that one at all. Like, Cuphead looks awesome.
Yeah, that's one that I think everyone's saying that, man, it would be awesome to get that over on the Nintendo Switch as well. So, yeah, that's anything else here that you want to talk about, Jesse?
I did think it was telling. And this is just my takeaway. I think it's telling that both Mario Run and Fire Emblem Heroes lost in the best mobile game category to Monument Valley 2, which a lot of people would argue is not even a game. It's more of a puzzle box. And here you had Nintendo's, for the three apps that they had released, I guess, that were able to be considered. Well, I guess Animal Crossing could have been considered too. It was out before Thanksgiving. Yeah. Of the four apps that they have released, here are the two that are closest to actual games or the actual series that they come from, and they did not win. And the question I had, like, was that just was like, what does Nintendo learn from this? Do they learn anything from this mobile wise? Because, you know, now you've got the Switch, which is their mobile platform. Should they back off of iOS and Android and concentrate more on the Switch?
No, I mean, you still need to have a mobile strategy. They invest in the mobile strategy. They have to do it, and they're making money off it. So, you know, it funds other things. It needs to. But straight, just business economics, in my opinion. What they need to do is they need to figure out a better way to... I mean, you got to think about it. Like, they made a bank ton of money off of Fire Emblem. Right, so so right now it's just not the best mobile game out there. It doesn't mean it's not a good mobile game. It's not the best.
Well, yeah.
Right. So, and does Nintendo want to be the best at mobile games? No, they want to be good at mobile games enough for you to understand that. By the way, you should go buy our $300 device and buy our video games on that platform because that's a good idea. That's what they need to do, and that's what they're doing with their platform.
Then the only other category that they never announced a winner is the best multiplayer game, of which Splatoon 2 and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe were nominated for. So no idea if they won or lost. And their website still hasn't shown which one won.
I'm sure if Nintendo's won, they'll promote it real fast.
Oh, yeah. So you know, every year on VG Tribune, I write a kind of a big summary article saying, here are the categories, here's what nominated, here's who won. And then here are all the... Here are all the games that were featured. And so I had that article out as soon as the show was over with this category. We don't know. And I'll edit the article as soon as I find out.
For sure. All right, guys. So that was the Game Awards. Let's jump into what we've been playing. Marty, what have you been playing, sir?
Well, I've actually been playing quite a few games. We have been gifted a code for Vostok Incorporated. And I just got to dig into this as we started the show. And Vostok is basically it's – how did you put this, Justin?
Described to me as I was playing it at EGX this year, it was The Wolf of Wall Street meets a twin stick shooting space game.
Yes. So
that's exactly what it is.
It is. It is. The best way that I think you can kind of grasp the concept of this game is to think about, a twin stick shooter. Think of what is that game? Nano, it was on the Wii U. It's been on lots of platforms. What?
Nano Assault?
Nano Assault. Yeah, think of something like that. in space. Your main objective is to blast these asteroids, break them into pieces, and get gold for it, while avoiding enemies, destroying their ships, engaging in the occasional large ship battle and boss fight, and taking that money and going and finding planets where you will then land on the planet and build mines and build refineries and different things. And so if you've ever played the app or the Flash game on the internet, Cookie Clicker, it's exactly what you're doing. You go to a planet, you buy a mine, and that mine begins to produce so much moolah, which is the name of the currency in this game, so much moolah per second, right? And when you buy that, it unlocks upgrades for that thing. And once you upgrade that, then another type of mine will open. But also, you can just buy tons of mines. You know, you can, like, and each one will cost a few more moolah. And eventually that will, you'll get too many of them and you won't be able to buy anymore, but you'll be earning faster. And so you can have mining operations on Mars, and then you can fly over to Earth and you can build a mining operation there, all while navigating this, this spacescape. I'll just be honest with you, the graphics are not, the visuals are not much to write home about, but Justin and I were discussing earlier, the writing in this game is fantastic.
Oh, it's great.
It's hilarious. Very self-referential and self-depreciative. Takes a lot of little, it's in some places a little cheesy, in some places it's a little wacky. And you've kind of got this redheaded guy who kind of looks like John C. Reilly from Talladega Nights. And he's kind of the one that's egging you on and kind of pushing you toward making more and more moolah. It's overall just a neat little package. And I think it's out right now, right?
Yeah, it is. It is out right now
on the eShop. So you can check that out. I'm not going to recommend it, but I'm also not going to say you shouldn't buy it because I've spent 15 minutes with it. But I will, I'll talk more about it on next week's show a little bit. I've also been playing, Party Planet, which was sent over to us by Mastiff. And Justin, you've actually got a video up about this. But Party Planet is a collection of 30 mini games, that are, basically, there's all different kinds of things, like, and some of these are would be games that you're kind of familiar with, and they're just maybe skinned a little bit different. There's a version of Snake. There's a version of Balloon Fight. There's everything from trying to stop advancing Vikings with lightning to hopping down on lily pads with frogs. And the first time I booted this up, I was like, okay. But then I played it with my kids and we had the best time. We laughed and we had the traditional, or we just kept saying, well, we got to play one more, or, oh dad, you need to come over and check this game out. Or if you saw my tweet, last week, hey dad, I think I found a game that you're really going to like. Okay, son, I'll talk about it when I'm done pooping. Because my son's trying to show me this through the bathroom door. And I'm like, no, just, I'm busy right now.
Then, Daddy, why'd you bring the Switch in there? None of your damn business, son.
You know, right. This I think is out right now. I know it's in stores because I saw it in GameStop this past week. But Mastiff was kind enough to send over a nice little party pack to us that had some fun little stickers and confetti that got all over my kitchen table about 30 minutes before a dinner party was supposed to happen at my house. So
that's awesome.
That was fun. We're enjoying it. I definitely think it's a Switch release that skews more toward families. Where I think it's weak is I don't think it has much of a leg to stand on single player. Justin, have you tried it single player?
Yeah, I have. I played a couple single player campaigns, or not campaigns, games, I guess would be the word I would say there.
Right.
But they're very simple games, right? Like there's not a compellingness of like, hey, I'm going to get like, you know, I'm going to sink hours and hours into Thor's thunder. Right.
Right.
But it's just kind of like, hey, you know what? It's like just mindless mini games, right? Like, oh, I don't have a huge amount to do right now, but I'll play the, you know, jelly pufferfish, and you just kind of bounce around. So there's not like, you know, a compelling story, but they're mini games. It really shouldn't be, but it's a compilation of mini games. It's one of those things where I sat on the couch recently, like my wife was watching a show. I was kind of watching that, but also playing this at the same time, where it wasn't like a thick story or anything really needed that soon. But I was like, oh, I got a higher score. Great. Awesome. And when you get a higher score, you unlock some of the specific areas. So there is incentivization to continue to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. As you play, cool. You will you'll raise your level. Mm-hmm. And that will unlock, I think it's 20 games that are unlocked when you first start the game, and you have to unlock the final 10.
Yeah.
Which is, in a way, is good, but it's also, like, unless a person knows that they have to do that, it's kind of a shame, because some of the more fun games are behind that wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. But I think you make a great point there. You know, your wife was watching a show, you were sitting on the couch. Sometimes it's good to just have a game that you can do that with, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That it is a throwback to, I think, a simpler time of video games. I mean, there's a lot of times that, yes, the Switch is portable, but there's, you know, like I'm trying to watch a show, but I can't play Breath of the Wild while I'm doing it because I might miss something, right? Yeah. Or I can't play I Am Setsuna because I might miss a story cue.
Yeah,
or something. So, I'm thankful for games like this that kind of are a little, I won't say lighter. Simplistic, but lighter. That's a way better way of saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes we're always so like, oh, well, where's the multiplayer in this? Well, this is a game that is heavy multiplayer, fantastic for families, great amount of fun, and it's a compilation of. I mean, this is, you know, it kind of reminds me of those things of like, this is a compilation of like what mini games on the Mario Party would be like. You know, here's 30 games, and they have varying difficulties with them, and varying level or different styles, whether it's, you know, one versus, you know, the whole team or partners. And they have a really smooth and easy interface, by the way. I thought that was great for UI perspective. So easy to jump in. If you have multiple profiles on your Switch, you can, you know, my kids can play as their profile, because they always like doing that. They're like, there's my icon, that's me. And they like having that connection with it. So it's super easy for them to do that. The games are fun. They're not overly complicated. You know, dad usually wins most of the time because it's, you know, it's just kind of basic gaming, but it's a lot of fun. I think it's a great game to be, and for it to be portable, to be able to, you know, take it around anywhere and be like, hey, we're going to, you know, we're at a hotel or we're waiting for a plane. Okay, pop. Perfect. Let's pop these off. Let's play some Party Planet together. And it's super simple and easily approachable. So yeah, well done from that team, and big thanks for them for providing us codes for that as well.
Absolutely.
Anything else you've been playing there, Marty?
Well, I mentioned it just briefly, but I've had I Am Setsuna on my Switch since, you know, early on. And I finally booted it up for the first time this past week. I had some extra time to just sit and kind of let that soak in a little bit. And, you know, I played maybe about 5 hours of it on the PS4. And just never really picked it up again. So I'm going back and kind of backtracking back into what I've already done. And I mean, it's very comparable to the PS4 version. In fact, it's identical. And if you're looking for a great turn-based RPG, and I said this when it came out, and I'm going to maintain this, like, this gives off super, super Chrono Trigger vibes. So if you're a big Chrono Trigger fan and you always wanted more of that was not the disaster that was Chrono Cross, then you Shots need to fired. Buy this game. You need to buy this game and you need to play it. And as I think it may still be on sale. I think for the holidays it was 30% off on the eShop.
Yeah, I bought it on sale, and I think it's still marked in the discount section.
Yeah.
So maybe something to definitely check out if you're looking for it.
Yeah, and speaking of that, in Square Enix, the Lost Sphere demo is now available as well.
Yes.
And I'm going to be checking that out this weekend.
Perfect. Jesse, am I right that you've checked that out?
I played a little bit of it, maybe 10 or 15 minutes of it. I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. Kind of like the underlying story is that you have this ability. Well, let's back up. The world has a bunch of lost elements to it, where if you approach an area and it's just all white, it's like something was there but is now missing. You somehow have the ability to restore what was lost by using up some of the memories you have in your inventory. When you collect memories from the creatures you kill, and then the memories bring what was lost back into reality. So, really obscure plot.
Okay. Now,
it kind of throws you somewhere in the middle of the game. Like your characters are all level 18. They have an inventory of memories already in place, so you can just start restoring things right away. There's one aspect of it's your traditional turn-based fighting, but kind of like Chrono Trigger is when you attack different things, your characters move around the board. It doesn't always reset back to your line. Mm-hmm. So where you are kind of affect, especially each person's attack. Sometimes it's just a straight melee attack. Some if it's a magic attack, you're going to land on a line. So if anyone's in the way, they'll get hit. So if you're able to strategically move yourself, you can take advantage of that. I haven't been able to find a good way to use it, but I'm sure there is a way. So the only thing I'm still confused on is you have the ability to put on these mech suits, which gives you different abilities in battle. And I didn't understand that. So I'm hoping that when it goes to the full release, they tutorialize that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. And am I thinking this is a January release?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is coming up pretty quickly, isn't it?
Yeah, it's and this is also a game that you can pre-purchase now.
Okay, great. Excellent, okay. Okay, so you're going to dig into a little bit more into that one, much like Marty and I are both going to dig into Vassal more as well.
Yeah, and I plan on playing I Am Setsuna. I did, I bought that on a Steam sale, I think, last year or 2 years ago, when at a listener's recommendation, and I just couldn't get into it. Is that type of game I can't play on PCs. It needs to be on a handheld or a TV.
Right.
So I'm hoping, I'll be able to get into it more on the Switch.
Okay. And now I'm seeing the notes here. Also, you've been playing Nine Parchments. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that was a. Uh-oh.
Yeah. I'm not liking this one. It's meant to be a multiplayer game. It's multiplayer co-op, 4 players, local or they say online. But I think the demo is local only.
Mm.
And so when I was trying to play it, I tried playing it by myself, and I just got handed.
Okay.
Quickly. The gameplay is kind of like Diablo. So you're this big. On a screen this big, you're tiny. So and then it's kind of twin stick shootery. You control with L. Left stick, you can aim your attacks with the right stick, and then you can melee with ZL and cast your spells with ZR. And that's just awkward to use the shoulder buttons for attacking instead of the face buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a lot of weirdness going on that I'm like, okay, this isn't for me. The story it starts off with, got me going, okay, I can dig this, but the combat, no. Basically, you're in this, you're like a Harry Potter school, type of thing. So something explodes in the classroom upstairs, and these 9 spells or parchments get scattered around the world, and your job is to collect them.
Mm, okay.
I'm presuming once you collect them, you're able to add those spells to your arsenal. But you know, I don't know, because I didn't get far.
That's fair. Okay. So maybe not scratching your itch. That's fair enough. I see the other one in your notes here is Stick It to Man.
Yeah.
That is Zoink Games. Our good friends actually over at Zoink Games. So how has Stick It to the Man been going for you?
I liked this game, and Marty talked about it last week a bit. I was able to play through it in like 3 days. Because it's relatively short, but when I had time to play, I was just able to sit there and crunch it out. And this is my second playthrough, because I bought it on the PS4 when it was new 3 years ago. I think it was 2014. Mm-hmm. So I had completely forgotten everything about the game. So, everything was still new, but at least, it wasn't my first time through it. And overall, I didn't have any difficulties except for there was one platforming area. Think chapter 8 that I got hung up there for a while, but other than that, relatively simple game. It was fun.
Yeah.
And one of those games where my friend Kimlin Tran did a lot of voices.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So when I did the screenshot of the part of the credits roll and I put it on Twitter saying, played it again. I had fun with it. I waited until Kimlin's name was on the roll when I took the screenshot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I have been playing Stick It to the Man also. It was actually my first playthrough of first time playing Stick It to the Man, and I have really, really enjoyed it. Fantastic art style.
Yeah. So I'm hoping Flipping Death is just as fun.
Yeah, I think so. I have no doubt it will be. I think the writing is so well done. Just, it's a compelling, it's just done in a way that just grabs you. It feels cinematic. It has so much fun. The sense of humor is great.
The art style is funny. Everything is like a paper cutout.
Yeah,
everything. In fact, even in the set, sometimes you can see the cardboard look.
Edging. Yeah. Yeah, it's been fantastic. I would highly recommend Stick It to the Man. Go ahead.
The checkpoints are hilarious.
Yes. Yeah.
The checkpoints are basically a printer that when you die, it prints out another copy of you, and then you just keep going.
Yeah, it's really well done. To your point, it's made me just want Flipping Death so much more. So I'm really hoping to hear more information on that soon. Obviously, also Zoink Studios or Zoink Games also doing Fae, which is rumor has it a February release. More exciting news from that studio as well. Now, if you're interested, we do actually have a Let's Play of Stick It to the Man up on our YouTube channel as well, so you can check that out. Cool. Anything else you've been playing there, Jesse?
That's all I've got.
That's a fair bit, right? I'll do some hot takes on mine as well. Last week, I was actually playing Splasher. Marty, you got a copy of it as well, and we described it as Mega Man meets Meat Boy meets Splatoon thrown in together. I had the opportunity to play that, and that is a lot of fun. That is a great 2D platformer, kind of just fun, strategy, gotcha kind of game, and it's been really great. Check that one out if you haven't. We've got some Let's Plays of that up on our YouTube channel as well. The other two games that I'm going to highlight right now that I've been playing, because obviously if you're more interested in Splasher, check it out on our YouTube channel, and also Marty talked about last week. I've been playing Tesselgrad from Rain Games. Now, this has been released on, I think, almost every major platform. And I actually had this on the Wii U as well, and I really, really loved Tesselgrad. So when it came to the Nintendo Switch, I was so excited to be able to get hands on it, and Rain Games was kind enough to provide us a review copy of it as well. And Marty, you're a big fan of this as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I actually played Tesselgrad on the Wii U and really enjoyed it back in the day. I don't know that I'll pick it up on the Switch because I finished it on the Wii U, but just being able to vouch from my playthrough of that, it's fantastic. It is such an indie gem. Mm-hmm. Lots of fun puzzle solving and power manipulation, with the ability that your character has there. And I think if you're looking for... It reminded me a lot of, if you've ever played Limbo, reminded me a lot of that because like there's parts of and not as dark as Limbo, but like there's parts of the levels you'll manipulate to do different things that will let you get into certain other parts of the level. And you'll have to figure out how to use your powers and how to use like metallic objects and things.
And it always feels very rewarding when you figure that out.
It does. It does. And you know, there, it just, the art style in the game too is, is just really super.
Yeah. It's it's very steampunkian kind of early 1900 European, you know, Russia, Soviet Union kind of setting, I guess would be the way I would say it, right, with this cold, cold, wet, rust look to it. It's very, I love the art style. It's awesome.
Yeah, I just, I mean, it's definitely like, if you like that type of game, you know, like the kind of the action puzzle, I guess this would be 2D, action adventure puzzle genre, then I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have not played Tesla Grind on any other platform, I think the Nintendo Switch is a fantastic platform for it, and you should be checking it out as well. And if you're like, oh, show me more, head over to our YouTube channel. We do have some Let's Play footage of that as well. And the other game that I have been playing is a game called Dimension Drive. And Dimension Drive just hit the eShop yesterday or today when you're recording this. And this is from Two Awesome Studios. Now, I had an opportunity to play this game when I was over in EGX in Birmingham in September of this year. And this is a game, when I first took a pass at it, it kind of melted my brain. Because this is a, you have your screen in front of you, and your screen is divided. There's a line right down the middle, and it is a shoot 'em up space adventure. And you are on the left side of the screen. Your ship is going forward. You're avoiding asteroids. You're shooting them. You're trying to collect your, you know, very much what you would do in a shoot 'em up game. But what happens is at various points you have the ability to jump or dimension drive to the other side of the screen, which is running parallel to what you are playing on the left-hand side. And there are different challenges, different things to collect, different enemies, and you jump back and forth between the screen. So you're kind of watching what your ship is doing on the left-hand screen and being aware of the enemy's world at the right-hand, kind of taking a look at what's over there. And if you jump over there right now, am I going to land in an asteroid and blow up? Am I going to land in more enemies? Am I going to get that special power-up and weapon I'm looking for? So you're kind of like watching both sides at the exact same time. It is such great fun, and that does such a tremendous. It's a very unique usage of the real estate of a split screen premise. And it is really, really cool. And there are times where, you know, not only like you have to, you know, I'll use an example here on the left-hand side of the screen. I'm moving up and there's an asteroid field across. And if I hit an asteroid, I blow up. So I need to jump to the right-hand side. But all of a sudden on the right-hand side, there's another, you know, group of enemies coming. So I need to kind of quickly jump back to the left-hand side where there's this kind of pocket of space between some asteroids where I won't blow up. So you have to be like very strategic where you're jumping back and forth. And when you are on the ship side, which is on the left-hand side, on the right-hand side, it's like this pink dot that's floating around. That's where you would land. So you're kind of very cautiously watching where you are at both times. It's really, really cool. And then they have this co-op part where you and another person can play. And what basically happens is you're playing it two players. So if I'm playing the game, I'm on the left-hand side. But the moment I jump, the player two takes over control on the right-hand side. So you have to communicate back and forth with when you're jumping, who's staying where. When I was playing it at EGX, like it was a game that I was talking to Gary Gray actually about it recently. And he's like, man, I'm really stuck on this level. And all I wanted to send back was like hashtag get good. Because it is a game where you do have to kind of you have to try and figure it out. Luckily enough, like your refresh is quick. There's not like a long death scene. It's quite quick. The first sets of levels, they go through worlds and kind of unlock abilities and unlock different abilities for your ship to be able to different weapon sets to turn backwards as opposed to just flipping. There's a whole bunch of other abilities you have. But as you unlock them, like the first world, I was like, oh, this feels kind of easy. And once they get into like world set number two, it gets hard. And it's challenging. It's not like, you know, throw the controller at the window challenging, but you're like, okay, I'm going to play this for like 10 minutes. And if I can get through it, great. If not, I'm going to put the controller down and go do something else. But it's a really great mechanic, really cool comic book art style, which is really neat. Fantastic voiceover, voice acting. And it is for a total of, I think it's like $12.99 on the Nintendo eShop right now. Yeah, it is. This is a really cool, unique game. You can check out some screenshots as you go to the eShop as well. We do have a video of a Let's Play or preview up on our YouTube channel. You can check that out as well. But it is really, really cool. It's smart. It's got some great sci-fi references. The opening scene actually looks right out of Battlestar Galactica. I called it out, and they're like, "You're the first person who's actually noticed that." There are four different modes that are normal, hard, extreme, and insane. And it's crazy. It's awesome. I would highly recommend it.
For unusual for normal to be the easiest of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's and I would say normal is hard for me, but I'm getting better at it. So yeah, for $12.99, the game is Dimension Drive. It is by two awesome studios. We have content up on our page.
You I like guys that name
as well. Yeah, it's awesome. So man, we've been playing a lot of games. You guys probably have got a ton there to consider. It's kind of a plethora of games that come through.
This was another one of those weeks where it was just like game overload on the Switch eShop.
Yeah.
Yep. There was, I think, 17 games out as of today.
Yeah.
There will be as of tomorrow or today as you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah, it's absolutely maddening. And I know that there's
some other with other games coming out on Tuesday, which would have been part of Thursday morning's press release.
Yeah. Yeah. TeslaGrad's a great example. TeslaGrad came out on Tuesday. I mean, now it's coming out that the games are the launch games are Tuesdays and Thursdays now appear to be the big drops. Right. So, I mean, there's other games that haven't even been officially released or announced yet for December that I know other studios are saying like, hey, we're going to have an announcement next week that the game's coming out. Like, it is not going to be a lackluster Christmas for games if you're looking to play stuff. All right, whew, guys, anything else we need to talk about for games? I think that's it, right? Okay. Marty, any emails that we need to be aware of?
I don't think we've received any emails. We've kind of become a little bit quiet for the holidays. Mm-hmm. And so if you'd like answer a question or two about games, maybe do some holiday recommendations for Christmas list, and different things like that, shoot us an email over at nintendodads@gmail.com and we'll throw it on the show next week. However, I can mention one thing that is a Patreon issue and also will affect everyone who's a listener eventually, and that is we need to talk about Retro Rewind. We are gearing up for our Metroid Prime episode of Retro Rewind. We're finalizing a few things with a potential guest. And when that all gets finalized, that episode will be recorded and be in your ear holes very soon. But I am going to just go ahead and throw out and announce what is going to be our next Retro Rewind showdown. Want you guys to this will be the first that we're going to hear about this. We'll tweet about it tomorrow, put it out on social media. But we are going to be running a contest until the end of December. We wanted you to get your votes in on the next game that we should play. It's going to be a Splatfest-style shootout between Star Fox 2 and Final Fantasy 6. Now, Final Fantasy 6 would translate to Final Fantasy 3 on the SNES. So go over there and vote for Star Fox 2 so Justin doesn't have to play Final Fantasy 3.
Please. Or
vote for Final Fantasy 3 if you'd like to see us play through that. We will record that episode soon after Metroid Prime. I'll go ahead and say this. If it does skew more toward Final Fantasy 3, we will take an extended period of time to play through that game so that we can be sure we at least get through a good portion of it before we're able to talk about it on the show.
In RPG terms, it's still relatively short game. You know, it's not a 100-hour game. It's not a Xenoblade.
No, it's not.
It's not a Persona. I'd say 35-ish.
And both of those games are available on the
SNES Classic.
SNES Classic. There we go.
It, not in the case of Star Fox 2, but Final Fantasy 3 can still be downloaded I believe on the Wii eShop, right?
On the Wii Shop, in if you've gotten rid of your Wii, it's not on the Wii U eShop, but you know, Wii U still has Wii Mode, which still can go to Wii Mode to the Wii Shop, or you know, if you don't want to mess with the Wii Points, you know, it is playable on a PS3 or Vita through PSN Store. So there's other ways to get it too.
Is it not also available as a iOS download as well?
Yes.
Yes,
it is. I wouldn't recommend it. No. I would.
If that is your last resort, that you have nothing else to play it on, it's $15 on the iOS app store.
Yeah, but don't do that. I wouldn't recommend it. Yeah.
Anyway, if you don't like that matchup, you can blame Jesse for that. He put the idea in my head earlier.
Nice.
Final Fantasy VI. We will let that be our next Retro Rewind matchup, and you guys look for that. Voting will begin on Patreon today as you listen to this episode. You should be able to go vote.
Nice. All right, folks. Well, that is a wrap. Let's start closing this out. And, of course, we want to give a huge, speaking of Patreon, huge thank you to our executive producer, Dave. You, sir, are absolutely amazing. Of course, thank you to every single one of our Patreon supporters that keep us on the air and creating amazing content. Now, if you want to support us, you can head over to patreon.com/NintendoDads and other places that you can support us and help us share all the amazing Nintendo Dad goodness. You can follow us on Twitter at NintendoDads, Facebook NintendoDads, Instagram NintendoDads. You can email us, send us your thoughts, talk to us about what are you playing, what do you enjoy, what are your questions. We are going to start getting prepared for our Game of the Year conversation, so we're going to need to have you involved in that. And you can email us directly at NintendoDads@gmail.com. You can also check us live as we stream on twitch.twitchtv/NintendoDads. YouTube, we have been putting up about 3 or 4 videos every single week on our YouTube channel, guys. So if you have not clicked and subscribed to that, go over there and do that, because there's a lot of content that we are actually having to now put on our YouTube channel as opposed to making a 5-hour podcast. So there's a lot of stuff there. Check that out as well. You can, of course, call in and leave us a voicemail at 929-25-NDADS or 929-256-3237. And, of course, if you want to change the world, head over to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and check us out on vgtribune.com. Big thanks to Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard for their amazing artwork, and our music today is provided by OC Remixer of the show. For myself, for Jesse, and for Marty, and for a absent Zach Erickson, thanks very much for tuning in to Nintendo Dads. You keep being awesome. Bye-bye.
Nintendo Dads.
Wobble Puffet? Wobble Buffet?
Zach? Zach? Oh, that's right. Zach's not here. Somebody cue the music.
if we could just keep that as our in there, not take it out in post, that'd be great.
PR news.
Or I could put it as a what's the term? Stinger.
Oh, there you go. Nice.